All right, brethren, let's go back now to Galatians chapter 2. I was going to try to get into chapter 3, but I just kept coming back to this text. I really want us to try to get everything we can out of this. He says in verse 18, "If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." He's saying the whole old covenant law given at Sinai has been done away. It was nailed to the cross. He took it out of our way. He fulfilled it. We're not under any old covenant law of Sinai. If I bring that law back in as a necessity, If I begin to accuse and condemn and to bring myself or others back under the law for righteousness or for sanctification, for a justifying righteousness or a sanctifying righteousness, for acceptance with God or for rewards in heaven, if I make that a necessity, any aspect of salvation, even as a rule of life in the way that this world calls the law a rule of life. If I do that, then I'm making myself a transgressor. When you get over and you hear Paul talk about the flesh and the sins of the flesh, if you read the context, he's talking about what we're doing when we're biting and devouring with law. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill that lust. He says, if I go back to that law, I make myself a transgressor, building again the wall of partition, that middle wall of Sinai, for a justifying righteousness or sanctifying righteousness or to excuse and accuse and all the things that the law does. And I'm making myself a transgressor. And he gives the reason that's so. Now, here's the reason this is so. And this is true for you, believer, and for your brethren. For all believers sanctified in Christ. This is true. Look at this. Verse 19. "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." I'm dead to the law. To go back and build that up again, to dig up that law, is like trying to go back and dig up the first husband. Because I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God, that I might live to God, to Christ, to my God, my Savior. And then he declares how he's dead through the law, to the law. And he says the same thing and just in a little different words. This is how I'm dead to the law. I'm crucified with Christ. And here's how I live unto God. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's how I, through the law, am dead to the law. I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. How do I live? Christ liveth in me. Well, how do you live the rest of your life? What's your rule that you live by? "The life which I now live in the flesh, in this physical body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, by his faithfulness, who loved me and gave himself for me." Here's what he said. True believers are dead to the law of works that were given at Sinai. We're dead to that old covenant law given at Sinai because we were crucified with Christ. Every one of his elect, you that have been born of him, we are crucified with Christ, so we're dead to the law entirely. And we now live because Christ lives in us. And we live our life by Christ faithfully working in us. That's how we live our life, by Christ working in us. And he keeps us walking by faith, looking to Christ, resting in Christ. That's what Christ, he keeps you looking to him, walking by faith. And he constrains us, he motivates us by his love, who loved us and gave himself for us. That's how we're, that's our motive, that's our heart, that's how we're, instead of being compelled, like Peter was compelling those men to live under law, we're constrained by the love of Christ. The old covenant at Sinai said, do and live. That's the law of sin and death. Not because there was anything wrong with God's law, but because we are the sin and the death. The law was given just to make us see we're the sinner. We're dead by nature. But the new covenant of grace, that everlasting covenant of grace, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That Spirit in you that gives you life in Christ Jesus. That's an entirely new law. That's a new principle, a new rule that we're under. And it's under this covenant that we live. We live by Christ, and we live to Christ. Now, let me ask a couple of questions, and I'm going to spend a little time on the doctrine of this, but I want to get to some examples, some illustrations of this. But how are true believers dead to the law? Now, how are we dead to the law? He said, I, through the law, am dead to the law. I am crucified with Christ. God gave one law in the garden. Now, I want you to think of that. When you think of the law, I want us to get a proper thinking of the law. God gave one law in the garden, just one. And of course, Adam broke it. And so all Adam's children became dead. In trespassing and sins, we became guilty. And so God gave the law at Sinai to show us our guilt, to show us that transgression of that law. Now, he did it to declare us all guilty. He's going to make this effectual in his people, show us all we're guilty, show us we're under the curse, that we're destined for death. That's what the law says, the soul that sins must die. Everybody that is a child of Adam is destined to die under the curse of the law. Everybody is. We all sinned in Adam, just like every other child of Adam. All God's elect sinned in Adam. And the law given at Sinai was to show how greatly we sinned in Adam. And when you look at it this way, and I'm saying this because religion likes to divide the law. You all have heard it. And they divide the law into moral and ceremonial and civil. And they say we're not under the ceremonial and the civil, we're under the moral. But here's what I don't think any of us really get. In that one transgression in the garden, we broke the moral law that God gave at Mount Sinai. We broke the ceremonial law that God gave at Mount Sinai. And we broke the civil law that God gave at Mount Sinai. We broke the whole law. Every bit of it. We never lived in righteousness before God morally. None of us ever have. We never worshiped God in righteousness as the ceremonial law typifies. We never worshiped God in a right way. And we've never obeyed civil law in righteousness. We haven't. To break once, to break the whole law. And we broke it in Adam. But in ourselves, we've broken the whole law. We have. But the law given at Sinai not only declares we're guilty and that we must die, it also declares Christ is its fulfillment. It's showing us when you have spiritual discernment, you go to that law, now you see more about Christ and how he's the fulfillment of it. That's how when we, like we're going through Exodus, and when we go and look at Exodus, we're seeing how Christ is the fulfillment of that law. So when Paul says, I through the law am dead to the law, it's because Christ fulfilled the whole law. The whole laws, moral, ceremonial, and civil. The law given at Sinai, he fulfilled the whole thing. And all God's elect were crucified in him. We were in him. He redeemed us from the curse that Adam put us under. We were crucified under the law. Now think about it like this. Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law. He's the fulfillment of every shadow and type of that law. So through the law, through him fulfilling all those types of the ceremony, he took that ceremony out of the way for us. He took it out of the way. We're dead to that whole old covenant of ceremonial works. We're dead to that. Now, with Christ formed in us, with Christ as our life, now what do? We're alive to God. We're under the everlasting covenant of grace, and so we live to Christ. We see Christ as our high priest. We see Christ as our lamb. We see Christ as our mercy seat. Christ is the true tabernacle. Everything we see in that ceremonial law now, we see Christ in it. And we see he's those things to us. He's our high priest. That's how come we have access to God. He's at God's right hand. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's in the holiest of holies. And he's our lamb, the blood by which we're accepted. So now we see that ceremonial law was fulfilled in him. He fulfilled the civil law that was given at Sinai. He came and made himself under that civil law of Israel that was given at Sinai and walked under that law perfectly. And you remember what God said about him? The government. That's what the civil law was. It's the government. The government's on his shoulder. He fulfilled that civil law too. We broke that civil law. We've broken every law. And he fulfilled that. And so now that we're alive to God, we see Christ as our king, and we're in his kingdom. Not in physical national Israel, we're in heavenly Israel. We're in spiritual Israel. We have Christ as our king, and we're his servants, made righteous by our king. And we're under his rule. Whatever our gracious king teaches us and commands us, that's what we do because we're under his rule. He's the civil rule of his kingdom. And then Christ fulfilled the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Christ is the righteousness of the moral law. Think of it this way. Paul said that law is holy, just, and good. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only man that ever walked this earth that is as holy, just, and good as God's law. He is the righteousness of the law. And he came, and when he was crucified, he didn't walk and have to fulfill the law. He just was his nature. He's righteousness. And so when he goes to the love of it is the righteousness of it's love. And he manifests that love by laying down his life for us. He died for us, for you and I who are Gentiles. He's redeeming us from the curse of that one law we broke in Adam. For the Jews, he's redeeming them from the curse of that whole law given at Sinai. But in that law at Sinai, we see all the transgression we committed in that one law. We didn't walk before God morally. We broke the moral law in Adam. We did not worship God aright. The ceremonial law that showed you how to worship, we broke that law. And civil law, we rebelled against God's very government in the garden when we broke that law. So Christ showed the righteous love of the law by taking all the sin of his elect and laying down his life and justified us. And when he was crucified on that cross, we were crucified. We were in him. Let's go over to Romans 6 and let's look at this again. Romans chapter 6. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What does that mean? The body of sin is destroyed. Now, you remember Paul said, if I build again the things I destroyed? If I go back to the law, I'm trying to bring back my body of sin. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm transgressing. I'm bringing back the body of sin that I said was destroyed at Calvary. And I'm saying that I'm going to do something about it by going back to the law. And I understand this, brethren. It's not just you going back and trying to live under the law. This is the transgression we commit if we start taking each other to task. That's going back to law. And look what he says. That old body of sin is destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And he's going to show you what he means by serving sin. He that's dead is justified from sin. That's what he means when he says the law won't have dominion over you. The law cannot condemn you. You're justified. And that's the only way a man's going to live unto God is when he's dead to the law. You can't live to God till you're dead to the law. Now, if we're dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Why not? He's righteous. Sin brings death. Righteousness is life. So death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once. In that he lives, where does he live? Unto God. What did Paul say? I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. He's living unto God. Christ lives unto God. So he says, likewise, you impute that ye also yourselves are dead indeed unto sin. That's you and your brethren that trust him. They're dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to it. The law looks at our brethren, it looks at us and our brethren and says, I've executed everything I can execute on them. I've poured out as much justice as I can pour out on them. They're dead. They died. But we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And if you're reading the context and you stay with the context, Paul's talking about the same thing he's talking about in Galatians. Judging and condemning and compelling with law. Being self-righteous judges and trying to make ourselves righteous and holy by law. That's a lust of the flesh. That's building up that which we said was destroyed. Now, back in our text, Galatians 2, with Christ formed in us, we are alive to God. He says, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The only way we can be alive to God is if we're dead to the law. We have to be, God couldn't have anything to do with us because we were unrighteous. We couldn't be alive to him. He couldn't have anything to do. All he could do to us was kill us because he's righteous. So now we're crucified with Christ. The only way we can be alive to God is be the righteousness of God. Christ is our life. That means he's our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. He's our life. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Go back to Romans 8 and look here. Romans chapter 8. Christ delivered us from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When he entered in, we were made alive. That's when he taught us we're dead to the law and we're alive to God. And here's what the result is. Verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law wasn't made for a righteous man. And he's saying there, you can't be condemned by the law. You cannot be condemned by it. Look, who walk not after the flesh. Paul is saying, I'm not walking after the flesh. I'm dead to the law. I'm not walking after the flesh, but I'm walking after the Spirit. That's what he's teaching them in Galatians. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm dead to the law of sin and death. Death has no more dominion. The law has no more dominion. You're justified, believer. No condemnation. And Christ in you is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ that's freed you. He's taken us. Now, here's what I was trying to get to you in Colossians. He's taken us out of the realm of the flesh. Christ said, if you were of the world would love his own. You're not of the world. Now, as you were born into this world the first time you were a child of Adam, a fleshly man. But being born of God, you're not in the flesh anymore, believer. We don't get this. We don't get how fully this is so. You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. Look, Romans 8, and look at verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're not in the Spirit. God says you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. And look here. I said life and righteousness are one. If Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. Nothing's been done to the body, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness and life are the same thing. And the Spirit is in you and you're alive because now you're righteous before God. And so it means there's no law against us. There is no law against us. Do you get that? If there's no condemnation, and if you're righteous, there's no law against you, believer. It means before God's judgment seat, we cannot break the law. We're eternally righteous, eternally alive by Christ's death and by Christ's life. Romans 8:33, what does he say there? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified them. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. When Peter got up from that table that day, and you could just hear somebody in our day, I could just hear somebody in our day say, well, I don't believe that we're under the law. I don't believe we're justified or made holy by the law, but the Lord said don't eat pork, so obviously pork's probably not good for you. God said don't eat it, so it's probably not good for you. So we just don't eat it just because it's the law. And we're not putting any religious, spiritual, justifying, sanctifying credit to it. We just not eating pork for that reason. Men say things like that to go back under the law. Well, we know that we don't do this or that, but we're just doing this because it helps us to think on Christ. No, by getting up and going from that table, Peter was condemning those Gentile believers. He was laying a charge to them. He was saying that they weren't as righteous as he was because he was over there observing that ceremonial law. That's why it was such an offense. Brethren, we're dead. Judgment's been poured out. Law's been satisfied. God is satisfied. God is satisfied. Now, when we go to the old covenant law, we behold Christ, who's our life. We see Christ, who's our righteousness, by whom we live. Now, that's why we delight in the law after the inward man. When I look at the Ten Commandments now, I see how holy and how just and how good Christ is. That I see how holy, just, and good he is. And I also see, because the law is my friend and the law says the same of me as it says of him, I see in that law how holy, just, and good Christ has made me. I don't see anything good in my flesh. Nothing. But I see Christ. I see him. He's given the law perfect obedience for us. He's brought in his righteousness, and it's really our righteousness. He declares we've kept every precept. We've never broken one. And Christ has put away our sin, and so we have this eternal standing before God. To bring a believer back under obligation to the law is to call Christ the minister of sin, is to make myself a transgressor, because Christ already yielded perfect obedience by his death and took it out of the way. Now I want to talk now and show you a few examples to help us understand what it means to be dead to the law and alive to Christ. Well, one, a dead man has no relationships. A dead man has no relationships. And a man who's dead to the law has no relationship between himself and the old covenant law. He doesn't have a relationship. The relationships dissolve. And that's what Paul said in Romans 7. He said the law's like a first husband who's died. And now we're lawfully married to Christ. We're in a new relationship. He's our husband. We're lawfully married to him. We look to him for everything. And any fruit we produce, Christ produces it. The law doesn't produce it. Our flesh doesn't produce it. Other men compelling you don't produce it. Christ produces it. So what should we do for one another? Go to Christ and ask Christ to help our brethren and to fill our brethren with fruits of righteousness. He's the one, he's the husband, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer, your Maker. Well, in death, there's no care, there's no concern, there's no doing. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. All that ceases when you die. The man that's dead to the law has no more care. He has no more concern about the works of the law that we had when we were trying to be righteous or holy by it. Do you even look at the law that way now? Not unless I'm in my flesh and under some sort of legal conviction do I go to the law for that reason. But when the Spirit has got me looking to Christ, I don't even go to the law for that reason. I'm dead to it for that. Completely dead to it. Now we live to Christ who justified us. Now we mind the things of the Spirit. We walk after him with our affection set on Christ. We're led of the Spirit. We have our affection on him. We look to Christ who's our life. We're waiting on the hope of righteousness by faith. He's going to come and raise us completely perfect, conform to him. That's what we're waiting on. We're not worried and fretting and concerned that we got to do something else to the law. That's what religion is telling folks. In death, there's no hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, to all the living, there's hope, but there's no hope to the dead. Being dead to the law, we have no hope. We have no expectation from the law that by our works we're going to receive anything. We don't have that expectation from law. There's no hope that God's going to pardon us because of some obedience to the law. There's no hope that we've been good to our neighbor and we've been just in our dealings with men, and so therefore he's going to pay me back. That's not our hope. We look to Christ. He's our hope. Our hope is entered into God's right hand as a forerunner to show us this is where you're coming to. I'm bringing you in here. That's where our hope is. We're alive to God and we hope in him. In death, there's no works to make you tired and weary, and there's nothing that you fear that's going to terrify you. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest, Job said. Those who are alive to the law, they work. They're weary. They're trying to obtain life by their works, and that's tiresome. They've never done enough. They weary themselves in the greatness of their way, Isaiah said. They try to make brick without straw. But when we're dead to the law, the weary are at rest. We cease from that. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. We rest from those works now. We're not weary and heavy laden, and we're not afraid in terror of that legal slavish fear. In death, there are no senses. The seeing eye, the hearing ear, the smell, the touch, all that's gone in death. We don't see the lightnings of Sinai anymore. We don't hear the thunder of Sinai roaring like they did that day when he gave the law. We don't feel the terror of the law. We don't taste the bitter dregs of the cup of the wrath of God, because now we've been made alive. We've seen we're dead to the law. We've been crucified with Christ. He drank the dregs of that cup. He put that fire out for us on Sinai. Now we've not come to that mountain. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. You see, we're dead to it. Some things that a man has in common when he dies, that's what we have common with the law now. We're dead to it. Well, how do we live then? Now people want to take you back to Sinai, but you got to live by law. We live by grace. When you get to the end of this book, Paul's going to say, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world's crucified to me and I unto the world. And what we're going to see there is he's talking about the law, the rudiments of the world. I've been crucified to it. It's crucified to me. And he said, as many as walk according to this rule. This is the rule we're under. The cross is our rule of life. Christ crucified is our rule of life. Christ risen is our rule of life. Christ is our rule of life. Look here, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Could you do anything to give yourself life? But when Christ entered in, you were alive. Can you stop being alive? Can't do anything about it. Christ lives in you, and you got life. Well, how are you going to walk in this world? How are you going to subdue your flesh? Could you put your flesh down? Could you make yourself believe the gospel? You couldn't do it, could you? Who made you believe the gospel? Christ in you. Why can't you just stop sinning? You look at men outwardly, and there's a lot of men that are irreligious that never darken the door of a church, and they seem to appear not to sin outwardly. But they do, because they're not dead to the law. The only way you can stop sinning is to be dead to the law. And the only one that can make you know that is Christ coming in and making you know you're dead to the law and putting love in your heart so that now you do what you do out of love. And it's not as much about what you do outside as what's going on inside, why you do what you do. Christ is our life. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is formed in us, and we live by Christ our life. It was impossible to make ourselves godly. You can't make yourself godly by the works of the law. You have to be created and made godly by Christ being formed in you. We're totally passive in it. He makes us godly. He puts a new spirit in. We're created into a sanctified, holy state when Christ, the Holy One, is formed in us. And then we're married to Christ, our husband, and he produces the fruit. He produces the fruit. He gets the glory for producing the fruit in his bride. He does. We don't do it. We can't do it on our own. He does it. The tree of Adam can't bear good fruit. Our flesh is sin. The true vine is the good tree. And it's Christ formed in you that makes the tree good, and then the fruit comes from the vine. And the Spirit of God's Son in us, we're born into a state of adoption. We're adopted, and that's the only way that we can walk as children of God, as dear children of God. In the life we live by Christ faithfully working in us, making us do his good pleasure. Instead now of going to the letter of the law, we go to Christ. That's the difference in bringing somebody back under law and bringing them to Christ. We go to Christ. We behold his pattern and we follow him. When we look at the letter of the law, we're looking to see Christ and what he did and how he fulfilled this. And we look to Christ, the pattern, and follow the pattern. Christ is the giver, the maintainer, the sustainer of our life. And he's the one that makes us walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If he wasn't the only one that made you do this, he wouldn't get all the glory for it. And he does. He's the bread, our life. We'd die if he didn't feed us. He's the medicine of our life. When we're sick, we don't go to the law to try to heal ourselves. What do? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. We go to him. We seek to be healed by the balm of Gilead. We want to be under the wings of the Son of Righteousness. That's where our healing is. It's called living in the Spirit. And that's what Paul's telling them here. Y'all trying to go back to the law. You're biting and devouring one another. You're accusing one another. You're judging one another. Don't you know that broke his heart after he had preached Christ to them, and Christ and him crucified been evidently set forth before them, crucified among them, and then they're doing that? They're turning back to that? That broke his heart. That made him feel like all his preaching was in vain. He said, if we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. What does he mean? The psalmist said, teach me to do thy will. Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The Spirit subdues the old nature so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Paul said. The Spirit restrains the power of sin in our flesh. We're comforted by the Comforter, the Spirit. We live in dependence upon Christ, upon dependence upon the Spirit of God. His grace, he said, is sufficient for you. You ever been really in a spot where you're so weak, to where you could testify and say, I can tell you his grace is sufficient. We can look over our life and realize it, because I don't think any of us would say we were here if it wasn't for his grace keeping us believing him. But his grace really is sufficient. He's the one who has to sustain us. Without him, he said, we can do nothing. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's some other illustration. He's the head, we're the body. What makes your finger wiggle? The head makes your finger wiggle. What makes you as a member of Christ do what he'd have to do? The head makes you do it. It's living to God as our heavenly Father and we as his children. It's sitting at the feet of Christ our King, our lawgiver, hanging on his every word. He enlightens us so that we walk as children of light. It's his grace when he's gracious to you. He works grace in another brother, uses a brother to be gracious to you, and you see his grace in action, and you're experiencing the grace of God. You know what it makes you do? Be gracious. It's all from him. Forgiven by God for Christ's sake. Most of the reason people don't forgive is they don't really need to be forgiven. When you need to be forgiven, I'll tell you what you'll do to everybody that needs forgiveness. You'll forgive them. That's just fact. A man that won't forgive don't really think he needs to be forgiven. That's just how it is. You forgive when you see you're such a wretched, nothing, nobody, maggot of a person, and yet God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's what makes us forgive. He makes you see he's your peace with God. And you know what the result is? You want to be a peacemaker. You don't want trouble. You want peace. You want to try to affect peace. You want to be a peacemaker. Where's that come from? Christ, our peace. So you get what I'm saying. Everything is of him. It's all of him. And here's the last thing I'll say to you. By Christ living up in us, we believe we're dead to the law. And by him living in us, we do what we do. And this is the whole of it right here. Our life has the Spirit of God for the power of it. That's our power, is the Spirit of God. The Word of God is the rule of this life. The whole Word of God, whatever He says is so. The love of God is the motive for our life. And the glory of God is the end of our life for what we do. That's the rule we're under. The power of the Spirit, the Word of God for the rule, the love of God for the motive, the glory of God for the ultimate end. And that's where He brings us. That's why we don't go back to the law to try to compel and yoke. And we go to the law to see Christ. And He constrains us and we follow Him. I pray that. I know I'm not saying it like I want to say it, but I pray the Lord to bless it. He make you hear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for this word. We pray that You bless it to us now. Make it truly effectual. Make us hear it. Make us live it. For Christ's sake, in His name we ask it. Amen.